Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop. We'll start today's show with the big story, really, from across Europe this weekend, and that is Girona going to Montjuïc and beating Barcelona by 4-2 to put them 2 points clear at the top of La Liga table. It really is a fairy tale story for a side that we're all about, just avoiding relegation come the start of the season. And no surprise, you take a look at the front page of those Spanish newspapers, they all lead with Girona being top. For more on this, let's welcome in from Spain, shall we? Alex Kirkland is here. Alex, I'll come to you in a minute. It's interesting, Craig. I watched this game and I thought of you because of what happened last weekend when we were doing Atleti together. And we were so disappointed by Atleti not going toe-to-toe with Barcelona, retracting into their shell. And the concern was that Girona would do the same. They didn't. They were brilliant.
No, I think there was always more of a chance of Atleti regressing a little bit to the means, which is what they did for a period. I think Girona's just a different animal this year. They play on the front foot. They play attacking football. They've got a lot of, not every player, but they've got a lot of cast-offs. They don't spend big. They've never spent more than, I think, 7 or 8 million on a player. The highest have finished 10th. They got Eric Garcia at the back, who was poor at Man City. He was poor at Barcelona. Alongside Daley Blind, who Robbo said in the commentary yesterday was absolutely superb. Yeah. But Daley Blind, I thought he'd retired. And what impressed me more, particularly as the second half wore on, was they, to me, played the better football out of the two teams. We can dissect Barcelona's defending, and we will. But out of the two sides, there was more of an idea and a pattern to what Girona were trying to do, rather than the sort of desperation of what Barca were trying to do. And the consummate ease that they were able to get from defence to the final third in attack, and how quick they did it and how easily they did it, was scary. It was great from Girona, the way they passed it out of defence, into the middle, around the corner, up to the big front man, or out wide, and before you know it, they were running at a very, very fragile back four. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. I watched them a couple of weeks ago against Athletic Club. Mm. It was a 1-1 draw at home. And I thought Athletic Club put up a bigger test for them that day than Barcelona did at the Montjuïc yesterday.
Alex, you look back over the history of La Liga, and of course it's been about Barcelona, Real Madrid, sprinkling of Atleti. You've had Valencia in the past, Depor as well. This is unprecedented, isn't it?
Yeah, you can look all the way back through the history books and you can't really think of anything like this. And I think this is the result that has really made people think, well, this might be possible. This might happen. Because, yes, we've been talking about Girona all season and everyone's been loving this story, but they hadn't gone and got a big scalp like Barca when they played the big boys. Previously, when they played Real Madrid, for example, at home, they were beaten by Real Madrid. They haven't played Atletico Madrid so far, for example. But here they play Barca. They beat Barca. They didn't just beat Barca. As Craig said, they played them off the park. They played sort of Barca-style football, really, against Barca, and they were the better team. By far, they were the better team on the night. So this is really, like I say, got people taking notice and thinking they can go all the way. They can challenge for the title. There's no sign whatsoever of them running out of steam so far.
It's brilliant, isn't it, Shaq? From a neutral's point of view, it's exactly what you want.
If you're involved with Girona in any capacity, you can't believe what's going on. And you're loving every moment of it. So from a player's perspective, you are just going with the flow. You're going out, you're enjoying your football, you're not hiding to nothing, and you're expressing yourself as best you can, and it shows. The thing for me about this Girona is how everybody's kind of bought into that. Whenever Barca were in possession, whenever they put together any kind of string of attacks, had them on the back foot, the numbers at Girona were able to get back. And then the transition game, and in total contrast, Barca unable to get any pressure in midfield, this rather odd back three that they were playing. And in the end, Girona just took them apart, rightly so. But that, is, as much as anything, for me, is just a team that is just enjoying every minute of this season, whatever this season coughs up, whether it is, as I was talking about, the loss to Real or through to now. It's been a joy to be a part of, as a neutral, it's been a joy to witness.
I thought what was interesting, Alex, was Michel, of course, the Girona manager's comments after the game, saying, I think with 41 points, we're mathematically safe now.
Yeah. Of course, you expect the coach to try and kind of play things down, to try and keep it cool, to not get carried away, not to talk about the title. And yeah, he made that remark about being safe from relegation. But also at the same time, he started talking, I think, for the first time about, well, yes, European qualification might well be a possibility. Beyond that, who knows whether it's the Champions League or not. But yeah, he's doing what he can to try and keep expectations under some kind of control. But good luck with that, to be honest, because if they keep playing football like this, if they keep getting results like this, those expectations are going to continue to spiral out of control, and rightly so. And if we're going to highlight one sort of one man's contribution to this, it is the coach, it is Michel, because the style of football that they're playing, the way that he's brought together this group of players, the way that he's rebuilt the team over the summer, because they lost a lot of players over the summer and they had to sort of rebuild from the team they were last season. They've got so much better. And like I say, the type of football that he's been playing, Xhaka says, the sort of the joy that they play with, the sort of effervescent style of football that they play, a lot of that, I think, is down to the coach, of course, as well as some very smart kind of decision makers behind the scenes.
As Rob Palmer was saying yesterday, which is quite, I couldn't believe this, population. You could, once the Camp Nou is renovated, you could fit the whole of Girona into the 98,000. I mean, such a, you know, do you think about it and go, my God. And, you know, we sat through the Leicester phenomenon.
Yeah.
And we all sat here and pretty much to a man, we probably all went around about this time, went, the, you know, Christmas and December and January, and I know there's a break in Spain, but they're going to falter. And then actually for them, it was a little bit later when they went to, or it was quite a bit later actually, but I'm going to guess and say around maybe the February time when they went up to the Etihad and pummeled Manchester City. I mean, pummeled them in terms of the scoreline. And then that meant everybody just went, sat back. Now there's a lot to still prove for Girona here, but this has to be a big step for them. You know, just the fact that to grow in their own confidence. But yeah, the football they're playing, I mean, Stoani comes off the bench. He's been scoring goals for them. They've got different ways they can play. They had the big Ukrainian up front yesterday who I thought he did a really, really good job. But when you think about just the back two, right, who else really has taken Eric Garcia, yep, his form of the last 2 years, and Daley Blind, and taken those two centre-halves and saying, right, with these two centre-halves, we're going to be top of the league around about Christmas time for Girona? People would have said, you're nuts.
Yeah. Meanwhile, speaking of nuts, why does Xavi not play his defenders in the right position, Alex?
I mean, Barca's defending is getting so much stick, and rightly so. It's been an issue all season. It's a funny one because if there's one thing that we sort of said about Barca last year, it was defensive solidity. They weren't always the great entertainers, but they were winning a lot of games 1-0, and that's what won them the title last season. This year, the defence is all over the place. It seems to be systemic. You mentioned about the players in their positions. You've got Jules Koundé, who's a centre-back, a right-back. You've got João Cancelo, who's a right-back, a left-back. But it's not really about individuals. It's about the system. It's not even just about the defence, I think. It's about the way the team defends. You're seeing there's the space is opening up all over the place. There doesn't seem to be so much kind of cohesion and coordination in the way that they press, in the way they try and win the ball back. It's very, very hard to understand what's happened to this Barca side. Like I say, when they defended really quite well last season. Look at some of the stats there. Look at the numbers. And yeah, some of the differences, I think, are really quite stark.
Yeah, the most stark one, obviously, is the fact they've conceded 18 goals already this season. They only conceded 20 last campaign, Craig. Campaign, of course,
well,
they won easily.
I think here we have another manager who is either searching for something that he really doesn't need to look for and is overcomplicating it. Last year, as a general rule of thumb, the only times, unless it was an injury or suspension, the only times he made some big calls were Araujo to go and do a job, yep, on Vinicius Jr., and the classical, which he generally did very well. Apart from that, it was a pretty solid back four, and hence they defended a lot better. Here we have João Cancelo, who, you know, we all know he's not the greatest defender. He's a terrific player playing at left back, which we know he can do. But then you've got Baldi, who's not been playing recently. So they lose that going forward. They lose that natural left side going forward. You've got Koundé, who is sort of moaned and groaned about playing in the right side, but when he's playing in the middle, he's struggled. And then you had Baldy coming on and playing at centre-back. So it was left-side centre-back. So it really was a mishmash. And but that being said, I thought the third goal was nothing to do, really, with personnel and where they were. It was two of their most experienced defenders defending shambolically. Absolute shambles. You know, the long ball comes up and Araujo is just bullied off the ball, off the header like a school kid. And then Jules Koundé makes the most powder puff challenge on the edge of the box I think you're going to see all weekend. Only slightly worse than the one that Molina made the week before when Gundogan got his goal. And so you can't legislate for that. But what you can legislate for is continuing to move these players around. We've talked about it with teams in the Premier League that are struggling. Square pegs and round holes has no longevity.
And at the other end, you've got Lewandowski, who, of course, did score, Alex, but a couple of big chances that on his day, of course, he would convert with no problem.
Yeah, we saw that one moment in the highlights there where he goes to head the ball and he misses it completely. It sort of bounces off his shoulder and goes wide. He had a couple of chances like that in the last couple of weeks. You don't want to make any kind of definitive statements, but let's say what we're seeing. What it looks like we're seeing is a player that's in decline. Now, maybe he can arrest that. Maybe he can turn that around. Of course, he's still capable of scoring goals. He will still score goals. He is still scoring goals. But he doesn't look like the player he was a year or two ago. And quite often, sort of some of the good football that Barca are playing, it almost seems to break down when it reaches him because he looks like he's not quite the sort of player that a Xavi team might want in that position. He looks a little bit slow, a little bit ponderous. And it's a huge concern, no doubt about that, because they don't have any options, at least for now. They're bringing in Vitor Roque from Brazil in January to give themselves a real alternative to Lewandowski. Because, like I say, right now in the team, they don't have one.
You got a right custard pie in the second half, didn't he? I don't know if you remember it. They had a free kick right on the edge of the box. I mean, it was a very good position. He sits it down. He's eyeing it up. And before he can get off the starter's block, before the starter's gun goes, Rafinha's battered it over the bar. Yeah.
But he's 35. You know, there is going to be some decline there, isn't there?
Yeah, well, he can still move 2 yards to take a free kick. but I just thought it was interesting that clearly the clout that he had was sort of being slightly diluted by another player taking it. But yeah, look, it's very, very difficult to keep doing what he has been doing at his age. That being said, though, the kind of chance he missed, where you expect to see the decline is the running away from defenders, is the running the channel, is the half a yard slower than you've been. Where I don't think you're expecting to see it is a bread and butter like the header when the ball comes in the box.
So how do you explain that?
Just timing. I just think even a player with his resume is feeling the pressure of the situation at Barcelona. He knows he's been talked about. He knows the team are not playing brilliantly. He knew this was a big game. And I think Lewandowski, over the years, wouldn't even have batted an eyelid at that, but in the back of the net. His timing's off. He's just struggling. He's half a yard off the game. And there is a big question mark with it. And I didn't think there would be at the start of the season. I thought if Barcelona get the supply chain to him, he'll continue to score goals. I'm doubting whether we're ever going to see that again.
But that timing, I mean, it's such a quick decline from the Lewandowski we saw last year. So while, yes, he is 35 now, and that decline has to come at some point. You just don't expect it to be this sudden. And Lewandowski hasn't been great all season long. And then the injury, and you thought, well, once he gets back, and if that happens immediately after coming back, then I think, yeah, okay, it's just about games. But he's had a few games under his belt now, and that's twice in quick succession. Very similar situations. Routine, or what you would think are a routine for Lewandowski, that he gets very wrong. It's not a little bit wrong. He gets, and that for me is a huge concern when you want to rely, where you certainly need his goals because of how you're defending, and he just seems so far off it, even after this little run of games.
I think he comes from a situation in Germany where they were so dominant, Bayern, and still are, you know, it might change this season, who knows, that, not to detract from his goals, but he was very rarely bailing them out. Maybe the Champions League was different, right? But is that a situation now at Barca where Xavi's kind of relying on him to bail them out of this bad period? If you look at Real Madrid, not playing particularly well, didn't have a great result at the weekend. But Bellingham has been bailing them out with the goals. If you look at Atletico Madrid, Griezmann's form and Alvaro Morata are bailing out generally any kind of average to poor performances. Xavi needs, he knows his team are not defending well and a lot of it's down to him. He knows he's had injuries in the midfield. He knows he's had suspensions. He needs this player to bail him out of this tough period with goals. And that's a big weight on Lewandowski's shoulders, maybe one that he's not had for a long, long time.
Xavi, of course, plenty of house money left after winning La Liga last season, I imagine. Alex, he says that this is a team under construction, but how much time is he going to have for this rebuild?
Yeah, it was interesting, that comment, wasn't it? He's got some criticism for that comment as well, because, I mean, you sort of understand what he means. You know, what he's saying is this team isn't the finished article. This isn't where he wants this team to be. But, of course, it begs the question, well, should they still be a team under construction when Xavi's been in charge for 2 years? Yes, that's been a difficult 2 years. You know, the club have had these extreme financial constraints in terms of team building. That's been difficult. But, yeah, 2 years into Xavi's reign, they should be playing better football than this. You know, last year, yeah, they got the results. They weren't always playing the football that the Barca fans might want to see to go alongside those results. This season, they haven't always been getting those results either. So that sounded a little bit like maybe kind of making excuses. It sounded a little bit negative to be talking about a team in construction at this stage of his tenure. But yeah, like you say, he's, you know, no one's got more, apart from, I don't know, Pep Guardiola, there's no one at Barca who'd have more credit than Xavi because of what he was, what he represented as a player, and what he means to the fans. So yes, they will give him time to get this right.
How do you divvy up the percentage chances of winning La Liga then, Alex?
It's very, very difficult to say right now. I mean, you have to say that Girona have a percent. What that percentage is, to put a number on it, I don't know, but Girona have a chance. Girona absolutely have a chance now. Real Madrid are in there. You wouldn't rule out entirely Atletico. That seems unlikely. You wouldn't rule out entirely Barcelona either. Let's hope all four of them are there or thereabouts for the last couple of months of the season, because that would be a lot of fun.
I heard no numbers there at all, Alex.
No numbers. Well, I thought I might have got away with that. What would we say? Let's say Girona. Let's say that Girona have got, what, a 20% chance of winning it? Does that sound low? I mean, when you look at the way that they're playing and what they're doing and results like last night, to say that, it sounds low. You might put it up to 25 or more, and you'd give Real Madrid probably a bit more than that, given their experience and given the players that they've got, even though they've got some holes in their squad. And like you say, you'd give Atletico a chance and you'd give Barca a chance as well. It's difficult to say, but yeah, Girona, like I say, I say 20% chance for Girona, and then I hear myself saying it and I think, well, maybe it's even higher than that. What do you think?
I don't know.
He hasn't given a number for Barcelona yet.
Yeah, but the trouble is, it's a four-way split. And a four-way split is tricky.
No, Alex is a Don. He's smarter than Don.
Apparently, it's a four-way split and everybody's at 20.
Because I was going to go 50% Real Madrid. Okay. Then I figured there's another three teams that are technically in it. I thought that's a bit much.
Right.
So now I'm struggling.
Okay. You could just keep talking like Alex does. So you just then.
Just say a number.
I think in no particular order, it's definitely Real Madrid. Whatever percent.
Right.
And then I think we're looking at Atletico Madrid.
Okay.
And then I'm sort of split between Barca and Girona.
Right.
And I'm not, again.
Yep.
Help me out with the numbers here.
Okay, you're the Nasser intern.
I'm going to go a nice even 25 for Barcelona. I think Girona are slightly under that at probably about 20.
That's
and then.
He's struggling.
Here we go. No, I'm not. So what would we give Real Madrid?
We're giving Real Madrid 35.
35?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's 80.
There you go.
So who's 20?
Atleti.
Atleti are 20.
I told you.
Yeah.
I told you it wasn't easy.
Here in the end.
Alex will say thank you very much, mate. Much appreciated. A lot more talk about what happened at the weekend in La Liga on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to go to the website and check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, to England we go. Lots to talk about from what we saw at the weekend. Yesterday, more misery for Chelsea, of course, losing against Everton. They sit now 12th in the table. How close are they? 10 points away from the relegation zone. Here's some ramblings from Pochettino after the game, talking about the January transfer window. That is the thing to analyse with the sporting directors to see if we can change the dynamic and improve in the second half of the season. We need to be more aggressive, then it's a massive assessment, and when the transfer window opens, we will see what we can do. I don't say if I'm going to ask for more or less players. It's to see if the perception matches the reality. We are missing something. We need to improve our reality. Good. Mario is here. Mario, Chelsea are horrible again.
Very bad. Very bad what we saw. I think, you know, the saddest part is, of course, is that it's just unstable. And I think for anybody that watches them and anyone that has a belief in the team, it's just something that you can't pick your head on, in the sense of, like, we all know, okay, when we go to Everton, it's always been a tough game. Chelsea has never had it easy when you went to Everton. I went there, and I'm sure you understand anybody else had his time at Everton. It's always tough. You get the traditional English fight mentality that you have to step on. But then Chelsea has all the talents, but sometimes I ask myself, do they understand what really is going to be asked for them? Because I'm not talking about the quality of the players, but I'm asking about the mentality and what is expected when they come into that stadium. Because the way Everton played against them, they sat back, waited for them and just hit them on the break and kept on fighting and winning every second ball and making sure they were struggling. And that's why I ask myself sometimes, you know, like players, I give an example, Badi Yashir, De Sassi. I'm not talking about that those are not quality players, but are they really informed in the sense of, regardless if you played well in France, but now you're like, are they informed in what to expect when they go to that stadium that is not going to be a normal situation that is going to then they are going to enter and say, like, oh, we can do this. In the middle of the park, are they aware how they're going to play, you know, with Gay and Dakure, how much energy they're going to put in the game and how they're going to attack? Things like that, those are the questions and those are the things that has to be answered. And of course, Pochettino comes out and says, like, hey, in the winter, I'm looking at adding more quality to my squad. But I don't know if that's going to be the answer, because I think they need to focus on what they have now and then see what is needed. And it's not like you need a whole new team or like five new players. You maybe need one. And the one that they really have to focus on is the one that has to score them the goals.
Maybe just need another billion of money scattered around. Do you know, I did say to you last week he would have a decision to make on Thiago Silva. Mm-hmm. And he did, but that clearly didn't work. So whether he revisits that or not. On top of all his problems, Rhys James is continuing injury problems, and recurring injuries is a big concern, particularly for a boy of his age. And more players is just not the answer. You know, it's a difficult one with Pochettino, because the buck stops with him. But I go back to a quote from Graham Potter at a press conference many, many months ago, whatever it was. He says, if you think I'm the problem, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And the problem has been this scattergun signing policy that if it moved, we signed them and we gave them 7 and 8 year deals. And somebody's going to have to figure it out. You know, I'll give you Mihajlo Mudrić. Mihajlo Mudrić has got a talent. But until he figures out that he'll be judged in the end product in the final third, then he's got a problem. Because he's got all the pace in the world, he's got a lot of tricks, he can drop a shoulder, he'll outsprint you. But there's no point in doing that and getting the crowd on their feet off the chair when you get to the end zone and you shank it out of bounds or you just pick the wrong pass out. And all these things are a problem. And there are an unmitigating shambles at the moment. I mean, they were terrible at Old Trafford. Should have been beaten 6 or 7. They were terrible at Everton.
And you know, you point to the fact, oh yeah, but Nkunku's coming back. But that's one
that's
player.
But Nkunku's not playing in the back four, is he? He's not playing in the middle of the park.
But what's going on? Like, you look at Enzo and Caicedo. They spent a lot of money on these players. And obviously on their day, you know, they're up there as some of the best in the world. But they just keep getting outplayed all the time.
I mean, I think Chelsea's primary need is a striker. I think we all agree on that. And maybe Nkunku coming back adds to that. First of all, if you're Everton and you, in response to you beating Chelsea, you hear Chelsea saying we need to spend more money, given you just got a 10-point deduction, you are wondering what planet is this all happening in? How do Chelsea go out and spend even more money? Another thing is, and Craig's right, everything about Chelsea's transfer policy since Todd Boehly took over has been an unmitigated disaster. There's no other way to put it. But now, for me, you talk about you're spending money in January. Who directs the transfer policy? Who's going to be the one who's going to take responsibility for this? Everybody knew Pochettino was going to take over at Chelsea before the end of April. Everybody knew. He decided not to take up the job officially until the end of the season. Even if he was not officially signed as Chelsea manager, you have to think that he had some kind of an input into the players coming in to the Stamford Bridge door. And while they did a good job early on in moving a lot of players out, recouping a lot of that money, you can't say that anything after that was well spent. So who takes responsibility here? At some point, somebody has to take responsibility. Something has to get fixed.
One of the problems is you can't absolve Pochettino of blame. You can't. He's the manager. He picks the team. He trains the players. He chooses the tactics. But there's folks, it's a bit like Man United in a sense, where it's not all Ten Hag's fault. Of course it's not. But a big chunk of it falls on him because he's the decision maker. And one of the problems that Pochettino has got is that their transfer policy, this haphazard, hapless ownership at the moment, was not what do we need? It was who can we get, right?
Yes.
And it was who can we get? And they went out and they got who they could. Right? If somebody else was trying to sign a player, they were sniffing around. We knew that. Right? Oh, Arsenal. Oh, Liverpool. Oh, he want him. He might be good. Right, we'll get him. So it wasn't what do we need, it was who can we go out and splurge the cash on. And that has left Graham Potter before and Pochettino one of the most imbalanced, top-heavy squads ever seen in English football and maybe even European football.
Yeah.
So they don't need another 4 or 5 players to muddy the waters. They really don't. So I don't know where they're going to go in terms of going forward in January and in the summer. But what we do know, if these results continue, he's probably going to be the next one to go.
Mario, there's very little hope, isn't there? There's very little bright side of this.
Yeah, it's a little hope. And I think Saka highlighted a very good point in the sense of, like, when we knew Pochettino was going to be in charge, I still don't understand why they didn't spoke to him more and made him understand. Like, I have a feeling that he wasn't always part of the whole policy, what they were building, when they already knew they were going for him. Because I feel like sometimes, Greg already highlighted, they were buying everybody. Even now, like, we're talking about striker, right? We have, Victor Osimhen. Like, everybody's watching him now. But there are more people on the board as well going after him. Okay, so things like this is you know, Tony, you have too, as another striker. So those are the kind of guys that everybody's watching, because everybody knows we need goals. So if Arsenal wants him, if Man United is looking at him, I am asking myself sometimes, I said it before, before Pochettino came in, I said they need to calm down, because if they're going to go desperately again, it's going to get another answer that they're not looking for, because you cannot give an answer to something that's just being put in front of you. Because I have a feeling that what's going to happen then, if they don't slow down and don't let his involvement speak into who is coming, they're going to have a team in the sense of that you have a coach in front of it and he does not know what to do with it. And I don't want that to happen, because it happened before. Eh? Because I have a feeling that there were coaches in front of the team that they don't know what they were doing.
He has some salvation coming his way, possibly. They got a League Cup game, and then they got early January, they got Preston in the FA Cup.
Right.
And then I was looking at the next four league games, and it's like Sheffield United, it might be Luton, but it's four teams, certainly, that's in the bottom half of the league now. Maybe that adds some extra pressure.
Yeah.
It should really, having the squad they have. And so, if he doesn't put a run of results with these domestic league games coming up against the poorer sides in the Premier League, he's got a massive, massive problem on his hands. And so do the ownership. Because when they came in, they said, we're long-term. We're going to give Graham Potter time. They lied. Now Pochettino the same. What do they do? What do they do if these results don't turn around?
Craig mentioned it, of course. You've got the Carabao Cup quarter-final between Chelsea and, I'm going to say, Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Is live on ESPN Plus coming up next week. Every single game will be live for you on Plus. Three for you on Tuesday. Everton take on Fulham, Port Vale, Borough, Chelsea, Newcastle. Then at Anfield, it's Liverpool against West Ham.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Right then, next 48 hours, we'll see the remaining matches of the group stages of the Champions League come to a completion. Tomorrow, it's Manchester United against Bayern. Manchester United have to win that game at Old Trafford and hope that it's a draw between Copenhagen and Galatasaray to see Ten Hag's side advance. Take a look at how the bookies have this one set. Bayern, of course, already through. They know they are top of the group. Despite that, though, they are favourites going into this tie. Ten Hag, though, quite positive going into this tie, reminding everyone that we've seen some good performances from United over the last few weeks.
The game against Chelsea and the game against Everton, even the game against Galatasaray. And so I know this team can perform really high levels. And that's not that we did it 3 months ago. No, we did it last week. And so I know we can do it. And when we have the right mood, we have the right spirit, starts with the right attitude, if everyone is ready for it, we are able to do it.
He's been taking the positive pills.
Oh, yeah, why not? Why not, eh?
Well, isn't this a weird game?
You have to.
This is not a weird game now. I tell you why this is not a weird game now for me. This is a big problem for Man United now. Was Bayern Munich's pasting by Eintracht Frankfurt?
Yeah, they lost 5-1, of course, at the weekend.
That's a big problem.
Well, you think that they're going to bounce back?
There is no way. I think if that had been the opposite way, right, and Bayern had a... What, Eintracht Frankfurt, they come into this game at Old Trafford and go, do you know what, we're going to take the foot off the gas. I don't think they can afford to do that now, bearing in mind, you know, Man United's been struggling. He cannot afford two really bad results in a row. I just don't.
I don't know.
Well, I know.
I don't know, Craig.
I do know.
I don't know. I think now...
I think Bayern Munich needed... that wasn't just losing 1-0 to Eintracht Frankfurt. That was embarrassing. That was absolutely embarrassing. And now, Bayern Munich's not like any other club in Germany. You know that. And the pressure is on when you get a result like this. They almost want a head to roll, right? Which is clearly not going to happen. So I think that game was the worst, that result was the worst thing possible for this currently weak Man United side, because I think we're going to see a response from Tuchel's team.
Or does it not show how weak this Bayern Munich side is, Shane?
Well, it's a weak Bayern Munich team that are sitting top of the group by some distance. And kind of given Thomas Tuchel's own up and down time at Bayern so far, I'm with Craig. I think he needs to get a response out of this team. Either that or just make 11 changes and go with the weakest 11 you could find in your dressing room. I don't think that happens. So as a result, from Manchester United, that's not very good reading, even though you're still asking for favours elsewhere.
You think Bayern are just going to go, do you know what? That's not how it works when you've been given a...
Know if Bayern have it within them. Like, we're talking about Bayern Munich as if they've been exceptional this season.
Well, they haven't, but they...
Jack is
that
right.
Result was an anomaly.
They're reckoning that... I don't know, Craig.
5-1 was an anomaly for them.
I know, but when the Champions League, have we seen them really boss a team? You know, early stages, obviously, against Manchester United. They let Manchester United back in. Yeah. You know, against Galatasaray, they were second best at quite a lot of it. Like, Bayern aren't the great side that I think we associate with the name.
No.
Hence, I think Manchester United might have a chance.
But hold on, you're decrying Bayern Munich here to a certain extent.
Yes, I am.
In the same breath, they're playing...
I know, exactly. Yeah. And they're playing Manchester United. But I just don't think it's as simple as like, oh, we're buying, we're going to prove...
Well, that's what Jan's been saying today on Twitter.
Well, that's your own fault for not playing golf. He's been following Jan on Twitter.
He's been banging on about it. Are we going to see a response, Mario, or not? What do you think?
I think we're going to get a response. Because I agree with you. Because, you know, Dan, what you're saying, no one has won the Champions League and started off really good in the beginning. They always built. So, like them, they are maybe could be the favorites when they started it and they're not playing well. But coming to Man United, I think, no, it does not matter. If you saw the weekend, the way Man United played, there were moments, people were just like, the way Bournemouth went right through the heart of Man United, it looked like they were playing sometimes. And they played at home, eh? And now you got an even bigger giant coming, and that giant is hurt. Oh my God, you got to be careful for them. Look at this goal. Look at how Amrabat reacts to that goal. He just runs past him and slides him in. No, he cannot play football like that. This is a big team. This is like going to Man United, supposed to be, I can tell you right now, walking on that field, when you come out of that tunnel, you used to get goosebumps. You think anybody's getting goosebumps now when you go to Man United? No. You walk on that field and you hope, I'm going to beat them. And when Bayern comes, I can guarantee you, with the pace they have and the backline with what Man United has, okay, maybe sometimes the fullback, but you think in the middle of the park, like a Maguire, he doesn't even, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get. Shaw is the one that they put there because they know that they need, you know, more stability or get on the ball, and he gets on the ball. But away from that, no, this team is going to be tested. And I'm a little bit, not a little bit, I have big worries for them.
Well, they got Liverpool at the weekend as well. I mean, it's a great week for them, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And now they've got me back in them.
Good day. I think
Man United are really going to come to the year. No, but you are right what you're saying about Man United. You know, they are. And I think that, you know, if Bayern Munich get a bad result in this game against a very poor United side, I think it's got bigger... It's got no implications for the Champions League for Bayern, but I think it's got implications going forward domestically for them. I think it could just erode away at their confidence. I know Stuttgart and Bayer Leverkusen played out a draw, so there was some points dropped there, but that 5-1 hammering at the hands of Eintracht Frankfurt, they cannot follow that up with a defeat to Manchester United.
Just a reminder, a lot more on what's going to happen in the Champions League over the next couple of days on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go to ESPN FC and subscribe. Now, I saw this quote this morning, boys, and I thought of you as Felipe Luis talking about his biggest regrets in football, saying my biggest regret was with Angel Di Maria. Aguero told me, throw him under the bus, if you talk about his wife, he'll lose his composure. I mentioned his wife and he was devastated. I outplayed him the whole game and he didn't do well. I came home and I regretted it so much. Di Maria, I'm sorry. First off, obviously, Kun Aguero, very much. Yes. This is him.
So what did he say? I was slightly not paying attention there.
Right.
He said,
because
I was.
So Aguero said, if you want to wind him up, talk about his wife. Talked about his wife, wound him up, he had a horrible game. Like, is that.
I've said and done a lot of things on a football field, but I think I've always found winding people up in a different way to talking about.
So ethically, you would find it uncomfortable to do that?
I have heard
ethically.
It.
Sorry?
That's a big
well,
word,
I often went on the field.
No, I'm just intrigued that there's a line. Like, you can...
Well, no, I would wind other people up in a different way. But I have heard one of my teammates at one of my clubs...
Yes.
..say something about a player's partner that was... I can't really find the words. It was very revealing. And this player... Where am I going with this?
Fill in the gaps. Fill in the gaps,
come
everyone.
On.
This player, was very revealing.
This player said something to the opposing player who used to play our club.
You've told me the story.
Said something about his partner or wife.
Yes.
And it had the effect that I would imagine they're talking about here.
Yes.
What I'm saying is I have not participated myself.
Okay.
I've done many other things.
Right.
But which I can't repeat. But no, I'm not into the wife.
No.
Don't look at
you,
me.
You don't talk to anyone.
No,
really,
I'm standing there by myself all day. I'm talking to myself all game long.
Mario, if you knew that you could wind up an opponent by talking about his wife, would you do it?
No, never. Because I'm a little bit like what the guys are saying. Why would I do that? I would go for the opposite thing. If you wind me up then, let's say I'm playing you, and you wind me up. Oh, my friend. Oh, I'm going to let you have one. And I'm not going to let you have it by words. I'm going to do it a totally different way. Our tackle is going to be extra solid on you.
God, I'm quite scared.
I actually think that's below the belt.
Really?
Yeah.
Ethically, it's
Mario. Mario.
Mario. He's applauding Mario.
I mean, there's. I'm not going to say there's an unwritten rule.
Right.
But there's going on. You wind players up.
Right.
But when you start talking about families, that's a new level of sort of. Underhand tactics here.
Mario, did you see it on the pitch, though? Did you see it happen?
Oh, I came to France, and the first swear word, I'm not going to repeat it, but the guy had a go at me, and my French was even good at that time. So I looked at it, I was like, what can I say? I went home, I asked my VC, he gave me a couple of info words to say back. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, because he was shocked that people were saying that to me. They were like, do people really swear like that? I said, yes. And she was like, oh, my God. Okay, let me teach you a couple of words. But I'm telling you, like, I would never, like, I think it's also a waste of time. You know, when I'm going to have a swear at you, I feel like I'm losing concentration to what I really want to do. I want to win the game. So that's why I say, we go in a battle, and I want to win the battle, and you're going to feel it, and that's it. That's how I'm going to get you. But there's one player that I know that always wanted to do trash talk. That was Thierry Henry. He will come next to me. Oh, master! He will go, hey, Mario, come on, man. Hey, what's going on, man? And I'll say, Titi, stop. Stop. And he goes. And he goes again. The second time he will go again. I said, and then he goes. I said, Mario, come on, say something. I said, bro, play the game and we talk after the game. And if you don't want to stop, then we got to do it a different way. And then he carried on playing because he was so clever. And away from being good, but also very clever, try to get into your head. And if he gets in your head, he knew I have him. And he did not care if you were his friend. If you were his friend, he wanted to embarrass you even more. So no, no talking for me. I don't do that when I'm playing. I just play the game.
I'm actually laughing here because to myself, because he's got one of the... He told me one of the best stories I've ever heard about a player saying something to him in the tunnel before a game. It was, I'm not going to tell the story, it was Jens Lehmann to Arsenal, and it just cracked me up.
Playing for West Ham.
At Highbury.
Standing in the tunnel.
Which is about that wide, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, keepers are standing next to each other. He was standing, you know, right behind the captains, just waiting to go out, and all of a sudden, Jens just turns to me and goes, so what are you doing here in this season? You're going to retire? Yes. You're going to retire the end of the season? I'm like, hold on a minute. I'm trying to get a career going here. Honestly, I could not stop laughing. It was so funny.
Did you have been thinking about that during the game. Right. He thinks I'm retiring.
He just retired me off.
Did you see players react, though, to things that other players had said?
I'm not sure what players react to and what is said and how players react. You know, right. Players react for different things, bad challenges, late challenges, you know, so I'm not sure what sparked.
I used to do it in other ways. It was like Dean Sturridge, who I played with for a period at Derby, was one of the quickest strikers in the Premier League. And we were playing Tottenham. I won't mention the defender. But whenever he stood next to him, and the defender could be standing roughly where you are, and Dino would be here, and I'd be like, he can't run, Dino, him. Oh, he can't run. And he'd be like, where are you? And I'd say, he can't run. He can't run, right? And he could, this guy was quick, but I just kept saying it.
Who was the defender?
Not telling you.
Why not?
He can't run.
So what happened was, though?
I say, he won't get tight to you. He can't run. You run him in behind. I said, I'll pop the ball in behind because he can't run. That guy can't. And I kept doing it. So what I'm doing is, I'm making this defender think I'm going to get tight to him. And then he was spinning him in behind.
Right. You've
got to try and...
But surely a professional footballer's not falling for that.
No, but you get in their heads.
Right.
You keep doing it all game.
Right.
Hey, Studge, he can't run him.
Who was it?
Yeah.
Go on, Mario.
It was Mario.
No, I want to know what he's going to say. I'm waiting.
No, he's all coy.
We'll show it to the next. Tomorrow's show.
Oh, look at that cliffhanger for tomorrow.
Tune in next time.
Craig will be back with us, as will Mario for extra time. Shaka as well. Maybe we'll tell him on extra time. Oh, what a tease. What a tease you are, Craig.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Mario's back with us. We've got Craig and Shaka as well, staying late tonight for extra time, which is coming up next. Not that late. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. It's an early Christmas miracle. Mario's internet has worked throughout the whole show, Mario. Congratulations.
Of course.
Beautiful.
I thought they... Has he got a collar on that shirt? Or is that a granddad shirt? What is it?
No, my friend. It's a fresh, easy money shirt.
Fresh money shirt.
Armani shirt.
Mario threatened to get violent with me in the show. Didn't like that. A bit scary.
No. Never.
He's in the longest Christmas trip ever, isn't he?
Well, so, yeah, he's in Holland for a while.
The longest Christmas trip in history.
Guys, I am from Holland. Just remember that.
There we go. Yeah, there you are, Craig.
Very angry today, isn't
he? You've got to tackle you.
Percentage chance you give Aston Villa of pulling a Leicester and win the league this year, Shaq?
Very low.
So how are the percentages divvied up between the top teams?
That wasn't the question.
Well, I'm going to ask you a second rate of four.
From Villa.
Start from Villa.
Right.
5%.
5%, okay.
Who else is there?
So obviously you've got Liverpool.
So we've got Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City.
Yes.
And I've given Villa 5.
Yes.
Liverpool and Arsenal, I'm going to go... Hold on a minute. 30%.
30% so each?
Each. 30%
okay.
Each.
So we've got 65%, so then 35% will be City.
Yeah.
That's where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
5% more.
35, 30, 35. Yeah.
5%.
Do you agree with that, Mario?
99 in 30. I'm okay with it. I'm thinking about. I'm okay. Let me know.
Okay.
There we are.
You
know what I forgot to do today?
I don't know. What did you forget?
When I came in.
Yeah. Did you forget to shave? Is that why are you?
No, joking? I was munching on some crappy sandwich that I bought.
Oh dear.
And
where did you buy it from?
I bought it from the shops yesterday. It was pre-made. And
why did you buy it yesterday and not eat it?
We have these things, it's a miracle. We have these things called a fridge.
Yes, but surely you would buy a sandwich if you went about, you buy a sandwich to eat now, not think, I'm going to save that for tomorrow.
I bought a couple of sandwiches. Because my son...
This looks like a Monday sandwich.
When
my son goes to work or goes to college,
right,
whatever one he's going to in any particular day, I said to him, there's the sandwich. Anyway...
Okay. Right, good.
What do you mean? You can buy a sandwich and you don't have to eat. It doesn't say when you buy the sandwich, you must eat.
But generally, once you buy a sandwich, you eat it.
But it was a pre-made sandwich. I was at the supermarket yesterday buying lots of stuff.
Right.
I was filling the fridge.
Okay, that's the fridge.
How you fill a fridge?
Nice, yeah. Because I buy a sandwich for tomorrow as opposed to buying...
I bought 3 sandwiches.
Right, okay.
I bought 2 sandwiches and a wrap.
Wow.
Right.
Look at this. It's a good television. What was in your sandwich?
It was one of those Italian subs.
Oh, okay. But it wasn't very nice, clearly. Shaka.
I'm going to get to the initial point of my story.
I don't know how we got there.
What I forgot to do today.
Yeah,
what did you forget to do?
Tell you now.
Oh, good. Shaka, who should Newcastle get to replace Pope for the rest of the season?
De Gea is available.
So
Dubravka?
No.
Yeah, I was about to say, I like Dubravka. I think Dubravka is doing really well for Newcastle. That first season.
He was player of the year, wasn't he, when he first came in? Yep.
I didn't realise that.
There you are.
But I thought he did really well for Eddie Howe that first season, kept Newcastle up. Pope is a better goalkeeper. I have no issue with that.
Would you want De Gea if he was available?
Yeah. My concern is because Pope is out for so long that I'm not sure you have the backup. But then do you bring De Gea in to sit on the bench? That's... As a starting goalkeeper, Dubravka is great. I think Dubravka fills that void. I just don't know if you have enough depth.
Which player, Mario, will have a more positive impact once they return from injury? Casemiro or Lisandro Martinez?
Martinez, by far. Because he started the season. That's the moment when, they were in a comfortable situation. And even Ten Hag made a comment about it. He said, I'm waiting for everybody to come back. But I think Martinez started really, really well because you have to remember, people were complaining about his height and he proved everybody wrong when he came there. So I think Martinez is going to make a big impact for just to calm the ship down at the back because people are now getting opportunities that when he's fit, they might not get it. And I hope he can get back to the way he was before he got injured.
Definitely Martinez. Hope Stevie's watching this.
Oh, it's Stevie's birthday today. Of course it's a birthday treat for him watching this.
At home going, what are you talking about? Makeup.
Too busy on YouTube.
Makeup.
Makeup? You've got to go to makeup.
Can you tell?
Not really.
Can you tell? I forgot makeup.
Okay.
And I just sat down in the show and I was like...
There you are.
Shh.
Yeah. Oh, no. Looking older.
No, I mean, but obviously it's not making a difference then, is it? So it's wasted time.
I don't know. I don't look at your face in that greater detail.
Where do you look? Always looking over with that glaked look.
What look?
Glaked.
Glaked?
Glaked is like a blank look.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's something else.
Well, you have no idea what's happening.
Well, I do in my head. Just listening to myself in the head.
Not a clue in the world what's going on.
No, it's the best way to be. Ask Shaka.
So his birthday today, is it?
Yeah, Stevie's birthday today, 62 today. Yeah. Eleanor's away, so it's just him and Haggis. He's loving it. How's that like?
I feel sorry for that dog.
Why?
When it's just his nibs. Dog. I just feel sorry for him because he can't look after himself.
No, that's true.
It's a basic rule of thumb.
Yes.
So what happens to the doggy?
Oh, he still takes the doggy out, doesn't he? Because he has to, because it's got the tracker on it and Eleanor's got the app so she can see whether or not.
Do I remember years ago before he had the tracker, he said to me, oh, I've got to take the dog. It was his previous two.
Yeah.
Lottie and Marnie that passed away. And he said, oh, I've got to take the dogs out tonight. And I said, Stevie, dogs can't speak.
Yes.
She said, don't. Just tell her when she gets back, you took them out for a couple of months. She'll know. But how's she going to know?
But now she does know.
Now she does know.
As a lifelong Arsenal fan, I find Arteta more.
Not the only person with a tracker.
As a lifelong Arsenal fan, I find Arteta more frustrating than Wenger due to his inexplicable poor judgment with team selections and transfer window dealings. Should he cease his overwhelming desire to be so progressive and revisit the basics in managerial decision making?
Oh, that's very deep.
It is quite deep.
He's doing well.
I think it's quite an angry tweet, bearing in mind he's at the top of the league and they haven't played probably as well as they did last.
But he's saying that Arteta's overcomplicating things.
Oh, no, I don't think there's any doubt that if they do falter, that could be a big part of
the goalkeeper.
Of why? You know, the goalkeeping situation, the Havertz situation. Who's making noises?
It's Mario.
So he can be very in your face, and he does at times. I think he's got a bit of that pep in him where he's maybe overthinking it. But hopefully he'll figure that out between now and the end of the season. What's going on here?
I'm just listening. I'm listening to you, Chris.
Yeah.
Why did you not answer that?
No, you.
For Shaka, after big clubs face turbulence this week, will there be any changes in the algorithms?
We have to wait till Thursday.
So what happened? Arsenal lost.
Yeah.
Real Madrid, true.
Barca lost.
Bayern Munich lost. Barca lost.
Where are you going this
Bayern
week? Turkey?
Barca would.
Why didn't you do any last week?
I was away. I was off.
Right. So as you're off, that's it. You could have done them on the Friday.
I was off.
Wow. Are you... Are you on this Thursday?
I'm on this Thursday.
Okay, good. I'll be with you, Shannon.
Normal service will be resumed.
Wow, thank goodness.
What's your random league this week? There's always a random team that nobody has a clue about.
You'll have to watch on Thursday.
You think he has a clue, Craig?
You'll have to watch on Thursday.
Mario, what's the worst game you've ever played? Wow.
The worst game, probably the game when I was on the bench. let me think. I think the game when I came off, we were 5-0 down.
Wow.
We played against Tottenham Hotspur. And I came off at halftime. And then find out that you're in the dressing room. And then you just hear, hey, hey, hey. And you find out we lost the game 9-1. That was the worst game I've ever off.
Wow.
That was sad.
Who were you there? Who were you playing for then, Mario?
I was at Wigan at that time. I was the captain of Wigan. So I came off, but regardless if you come off, at 5-0 or 5-1 it was, you still feel like, you know, like when the numbers go too high, any individual, when it goes too high and you know you cannot win anymore, you almost look at yourself and think like, oh my God, ref. Ugh, you don't want to stop any game, but that was definitely one of those games that I said, I looked at the ref, you can stop it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got beat. I remember we got beat by Wimbledon at Stamford Bridge. Might have been around 96. Who was the lad that played up front? Gale? The big lad?
Yeah.
Marcus Gale?
Marcus Gale. Scored a belter. Well, it wasn't really a belter. It went in the middle of the goal. My mate Hitch, he was in goal, threw a couple in. Hope he's watching. Every time I went to control the ball, the pitch was bobbly. It bubbled over my foot.
Brilliant.
Oh, it was just one of those days. They had a pretty good little side at the time. And on Monday morning, we came in, Red Hullet was the manager, and he wanted... We rarely ever did this. For some reason, they decided we were going to have a video analysis. Fortunately for me, he really focused on the Marcus Gayle shot that went in the middle of the goal.
Perfect.
And Hitchie been, he's an East End Cockney, isn't he? I thought he was going to explode. So Rudd kept rewinding it. Every time I hit the net, he kept rewinding it. I go, how is this possible? I've had the worst game ever, by the way. I'm sat like this. And then it was one of those balls, he hit it and it swerved, right? It dipped and hit you, Kinney. Rewound it again, and then hit in the end, hit you, went, oh, that's enough. That's enough. And I was like, but honestly, it was one of those games, like Mario said, every time somebody passed the ball to me, I went to control it and it bobbled over my foot and went to one of their players. I'm like,
but, thankfully,
my mate had also had an equal bad game.
You know what the best is? When the video, what you just highlighted, oh my God. we were playing the Champions League with Ajax and we were playing against Juventus. There was the time when Zidane was playing. I don't know, you guys must have seen Zidane. You don't want to mark him. I don't care who you are. You don't want to mark him. And we had a player, Richard Witcher, knew Zidane because they played together apparently in Bordeaux. So we had a meeting and Van Gaal says, okay, Richard, you're going to play against Zidane and you're going to do it. He said, yeah, no problem, coach. So we play the game and we have a meeting, a video recording. We're checking out the video with like most of the starting players. So the game kicks off and after 10 minutes, he fast forward and he goes, Richard, where are you? Yeah, coach, I'm on the left-hand side. He said, where is Zidane? Yeah, he's on the other side because somebody else is taking him. He said, what did I told you before the game? Yeah, coach, I'm going to take Zidane. He said, then why is Zidane on his own on the right-hand side? So we all look at Witcher and he goes, no, but this was only the beginning of the game. Watch the second, the later on. We fast forward, again, Zidane on his own. Oh my God. We sat there in that room watching that tape. He stopped the tape and said to Richard, if you ever tell me again, a minute later that you got him, I'll probably kill you. We were in the room because we could just see what he was laughing. And I was at that time, I was maybe, 19, 20 years old, watching my first meeting. I was already nervous sitting in that room. But Richard, every time you saw Zidane, he was on his own. And Witcher was all the way on the opposite side of the pitch. And he was nowhere near him. Oh my God. It was the best ever. Oh, so that's what makes that video the best.
Those video analysis.
There's nothing worse than a video. The managers I played for, generally we didn't have it. But on the odd occasion we did have it, after a horrendous performance, it's painful. We don't, mind you, you and I had one here, did we not? We won't go into the detail.
Briefly.
Worst game, chat?
Easily. Worst game, I remember this season, it had been my second season at Reading, away to Barnet. We actually won 1-0. I kept a clean sheet. I kid you not. I was suffering hypothermia.
Oh.
I was suffering hypothermia. I kid you not. The ball slipped through my hands and hit the woodwork about 3 times.
Wow.
It would just slip through my hands and come off the post right back to me and just carry on like nothing happened. It was great. It was Barnet. Awful night.
Final question, Craig. Would you rather go on a trip to Tanzania with Dan and Stevie or give one away for free?
Well,
can you believe it? So Craig had his credit card details stolen and some people have found the funny side to it, which is disappointing.
Well, you know. I wouldn't be so annoyed if it wasn't at least the third time this year.
Oh, dear.
I got a notification Sunday morning that I'd booked a 5-star hotel in Tanzania. Well, I didn't know it was Tanzania, but I looked up the name of the hotel.
There you go.
5-star in Tanzania.
At least you have good taste.
Yeah, and I thought, well, I'm not going to Tanzania anytime soon, not that I'm aware of.
No.
And the dogs are not going. So, yeah, I've had to cancel with one of my freaking credit cards again. It's unbelievably rife at the moment.
But thank you very much. So then I tweeted out, obviously, finally booked my trip to Tanzania, can't wait. And thank you for everyone who has given me lots of tips on where I should go. Within Tanzania.
Maybe those people didn't. I noticed that they were going, oh, that's a really nice place.
Yeah, I know, you should really see these places. There we go, maybe we should do ESPN FC on the road. Wherever Craig's credit card takes us.
Five-star hotel.
I think so. That's it. Thank you very much, guys. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. We'll be focusing on that big game between Manchester United and Bayern Munich, which some think Manchester United are going to win. Oh.